This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Welcome to the Safety Third Podcast, the podcast where our number three priority is safety and our number one priority is profit. At this point in time, we haven't even monetized the channel, so we're doing a really bad job.
Sorry, can I swear? I just already swore. Sorry.
That's No. We swearing is okay, not only allowed, but encouraged.
He just said there's no monetization. So.
What is YouTube going to do?
Our number one priority is profit, and I just said, oh, fuck. And
no, that's my great.
Sorry.
Say it one more time.
Fuck. Nah.
Perfect. All right. Now we got the three within 30 seconds totally demonetized. We have today our special guest, Explosions and Fire.
Hello.
Welcome.
It's just straight to the point.
Yeah.
It's very like Backyard Scientist is with us here and Nile Red, but like none of those have the same ring as Explosions and Fire.
I mean, okay, so here's
what even is a William Osman?
Yeah. Exactly. Do you guys regret your channel names at all? Or like, because like, you know.
Dude, I regret my birth.
Wait. Before I answer that. Yeah, it's before I answer that. Are you asking that because you think we should? Or is that just the general curiosity?
We need Alan.
I regret my name. And I like Explosions and Fire, but I hate the ampersand. Why did I put an ampersand in the name? I can't draw it. I can't put it in a URL. I can't, like, Google search it. It's terrible.
But you can rename your channel. You just lose. You have to just reapply to be verified.
Mm. Do you have a partner manager?
Do I look like I have a partner manager? No.
Welcome to YouTube, where you can literally, you know, okay, I've made this claim so many times. You can put $100 into a bank account. And you don't even need to put money in a bank account. You can walk into a bank and you can talk to somebody, like face to face. And then they'll let you do that, like they'll let you open an account for like $100, right? You put $100 in your account. On YouTube, you can literally, there are people who make millions of dollars a year in ad revenue on YouTube, which means that YouTube itself is making millions of dollars off of that person because it's like a 40 50 split, or what is it actually now? Is it 50 50 or 40 60? I don't know.
It was 40 60.
45 55?
Yes, 45
maybe
now.
Shaved
I think.
It? I don't know.
So you can be literally making YouTube hundreds of thousands of dollars a year and you can't talk to them at all.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to change my name on my channel. Like, you know, whatever. Like, nope.
One thing, though, that they are, that I was very surprised by. So, my shorts channel it's over a million, but we didn't get any notification for the 100K plaque or the million. And then we weren't getting verified. So, we were all kind of like, I was just like, how do we even do this? So, I was going to go email my partner manager, which. Yeah, I do have, but
yeah.
I got like three new ones in the span of a month, and then this one went on vacation for 2 months or something.
Dude, really? you must have the same one that I do.
So I gave up, and I went to it's like YouTube live chat, and they're like, oh, if you chat with us live, we can help you. And I was like, oh, it's going to be a robot. But it's like connected with somebody. I swear to God, within 4 minutes, I had both the play buttons in the mail, and my channel was verified.
Really?
And I was like... And it was just random chat off the the YouTube page.
Holy shit! Yeah. Maybe I should.
And then
try
even
that.
My partner manager came back from vacation, and she's like, use the chat thing. We aim to respond within like 30 seconds or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was like,
my live through chat as well. Yeah. I just said
it was actually pretty quick.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, like 2018, I sent an email because we were trying to blur a video because John's face was in it. And I used the blur tool, and it got locked up. And so, like, you couldn't access anything inside of that video in the dashboard. And I emailed them, and they kept saying something. Like, it was like, you know when they, like, the support says something? This is generic email, by the way. Support says something, and it, like, clearly reads that they didn't actually understand what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
And it happened like 3 times where I said, no, you don't understand. And it like over and over. And finally, my partner and manager responded. And they ended up fixing the problem. But like, did I tell you the story of my play button? It burned in the house fire. So I had just gotten the first like silver play button and it burned. Sorry. Why are you laughing? Are you just laughing?
I said, sorry.
You said, sorry, I have to say, you're talking about how your silver play button burned and he's just sitting there next to him.
You're a monster.
Quiet deal there. Sorry.
Continue. Because he has his right next to him.
Okay, I'm going to say it again. Everybody laughs. This is
like, I've got a silver play button and William Osmond doesn't.
Okay, I'm going to start over and you guys are all going to laugh together. Okay. Anyways, when my house burned down, the silver play button burned too.
You gotta laugh, right?
Thank you. All right, thank you.
Sorry.
and they made me pay for a new one. The first, they weren't even gonna give me a new one, but then they made me pay for it. Like,
well, how do they know your house really burned down?
That's a good question.
Well, what's the TikTok support like? Have you got the TikTok play button yet?
Did Kevin just disappear again?
Kevin's gone.
Has he said anything this whole time? Has he even disconnected?
No. Has he even been here? I think he said something. I think he said something.
All right. We'll power through that. Okay, we don't need Kevin anyway.
We should say Kevin. We should just say why Kevin isn't here. Because he has bad Florida internet.
Oh, yeah. You tell that story. It's not even a story.
Well, we just rescheduled for today so that Kevin could be here. And then his internet went down.
Well, hey, we missed yesterday because you were off getting a milkshake, Niall, right?
No, we said 10
milk addiction.
We said 10 p.m. my time. I show up here at 9:45 and I see a message that was sent at 9:20. Oh, it's canceled.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Because you were getting a milkshake.
Yeah, because I was still 15 minutes early and I got canceled 40 minutes before.
Good milkshake, though.
Yeah, it was good.
So, Tom. Kevin's my back. God, Kevin's back. All right. So you make chemistry videos.
Yes.
Like kind of crackhead chemistry videos.
I'm back, baby.
As a compliment, yeah, Kevin.
you're like a really smart backyard scientist. Oh, hey, Kevin.
Okay. So what did I miss, everybody?
You're like right. You're like in this sweet spot right between Nigel and Kevin.
Oh.
Wait, okay, what does that mean? What do you mean between us?
He's less polished. Defined than between. He's not polished like Nigel, but his chemistry is more organized than Kevin's.
Yeah,
he has a degree.
But you,
thanks.
But yeah,
for
but you're like actually like in the process of getting like a PhD, right?
Yes, but it's currently it
a PhD's nuts.
Wrong to say it. Yeah, it's currently in physics. The PhD.
What?
And I say currently, I mean, it is in physics. Yeah.
Why?
Well, chemistry is just applied physics. Wait, right?
Yeah. I mean,
no, Yeah, I mean, people say chemistry is just applied physics. And I don't know. I think, because all I know is that, I mean, when I was actually in chem a long time ago, is it the same with you? Everyone in chem just hates physics. There's no real reason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And if you're like, become a physical chemist, then you just lose your friends.
Yeah. So that's basically what I am at the moment. I'm basically in physical chemistry, but I'm in the physics department.
Everyone just says, if you're going to do that, just become a physicist.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I shit on the physics department in my videos because it's me, you know? Yeah.
Why do you post them frequently?
And then the math majors shit on all of you.
Yeah, basically. Why do I post so frequently?
Yeah.
So I'm in my third year on PhD and the lasers keep breaking, which sucks. So I'm going to be there forever.
Why do you need lasers? What's your research?
Yeah.
5 milliwatt lasers, 5 megawatt lasers.
No, they're pulse nanosecond regime tunable IPO lasers, which probably means not much to many people.
I know those.
Yeah.
They're not super fast.
So they're nanosecond pulse lasers. So they operate at 5 nanosecond pulses. They're about high peak power.
Yeah. In the realm of lasers,
what kind of laser is it? How does the lasing work?
So they're flash lamp pumped neodymium YAG. Sorry.
Oh, that's cool.
So they So it's a big, you know, 1064, and then that's get doubled and then doubled again, and it pumps an OPO crystal. And the advantage of that is that so it's an optical parametric oscillator. God, sorry, I'm talking too much science. But
I know you. What happens? Can't see
what happens
him,
is
I,
it? Oh yeah, yeah.
Kevin, I have a little model of an erbium YAG flash lamp pulse laser right here.
Yeah. So
I broke the crystal.
You've got this magical crystal, which is this OPO crystal, and depending on the angle of the incoming light, it changes the output wavelength. So you still have your laser, but it splits the laser into two with like a ratio between the two laser wavelengths. This is too nerdy, I'm sorry, but so basically you get a tunable laser out of it, because depending on, you can just, you know, use stepper motors to rotate this OPO crystal, and then your input laser comes out at any color you want it to be. So I can I want my laser to be 587 nanometers, and it'll go there. I want it to be 1,489.
So there's like a lot of like mechatronics as well. Like how does that work?
Yeah, there's a lot of like, yeah. Basically, they're really well-designed, like engineered lasers, and with software that was written by an intern in about a week. So there's all these stepper motors and everything, and you know, the lasers barely
using like LabVIEW, or is it like some other interface?
Like LabVIEW, but barely. And so a lot of like timing stuff. Yeah, there's been a whole thing about them, but you know, and especially you kind of like when you pay like over $100,000 for a bit of science equipment, you kind of expect it to work, and then they never do. And then
a lot of niche stuff is like that. Like they can just charge a bunch of money, and because they know you have no other options, and it also can just be sort of total shit at the same time. And then I've never understood that with cars, right? Like you can go buy a car, and then like a year later, there's something wrong with it, and they're just like, yeah, like, oh, the backup camera's broken. You have to pay us $600 to replace it. And it's like, you made this car, and like you made it shit, so the camera's broken. Why do I have to like pay money for them to fix it? And I feel like small companies, especially with science or expensive stuff, it's kind of like, well, oh yeah, we'll come out, but you got to pay us $1,000 an hour to fix the machine.
And we've had issues as well, because there's only one person in the southern hemisphere who can fix them. And
how many are in the northern hemisphere?
Probably at least three. But you know, like they fly out, and you have to pay their accommodation, and then like they can't come because of COVID, and then you know,
is that a side effect of COVID?
Yeah, the state borders here have been shut really badly.
No, that's I made it a joke. Yeah. You said you can't come because of COVID.
All right, yeah. No.
Yes, I nailed it.
All right, so you're
a scientist, and now we have Kevin here. We can ask like interesting science questions.
I have one.
The most educated. Shut up. It's my turn to talk. I'm gonna build a machine that makes all of you be quiet when other people.
And we're gonna give it to Zach because Will go crazy with power.
Exactly. So my science question for the smartest man in the room, most highly educated, Nigel. What's your education level? Bachelor?
Definitely not the highest here.
Did you graduate?
With a bachelor's.
Okay, and then Kevin, chemistry. All know. Kevin went to the School of Hard Knocks.
I dropped out of bachelor.
So Tom is...
Oh, no.
I don't want to be the most educated person.
Tom is about 3 inches away from a PhD, so I think that you are definitely the most qualified to answer. And physics, too. Oh, my God.
Can we go back to calling me a crackhead? That was nice.
Yes. He's a crackhead PhD. How far do you think a human can pee? What's like the farthest you could pee if you were trying to pee as far as you could pee?
Are we stationary when we're...
Yeah, stationary. Peeing? You're just like standing on a flat surface. How do we do this? You could do it by like what's the pressure that like your bladder would explode? And so you could basically put about that much pressure on your bladder. And then like, I don't know. Is it what kind of problem are we solving here? Like, what if we measure... how would we even go about solving this problem?
Just got to have a competition.
That's how I would do it.
That's it.
That's how we did it on the streets.
You think a human could pee 10 feet? 15 feet. What do you think? Kevin, do you have any ideas?
I'd say no more than 20 feet. I say 20 feet's impossible. So a number less than 20 feet.
But
10
feet's plausible.
I think 10 feet could be possible.
How far is 10 feet?
Where the hell is Adam?
Let me convert it. 3 meters. All right, good. I'm on track here. 3 meters?
It's a lot. It's far.
You could do 3 meters.
You think you could? Do any of you have to pee right now that you could go outside and try to get a rough estimation? Here, I'm gonna just check.
Disappointingly. Like the new YouTube challenge, you know?
Mm-hmm. The pee challenge.
Kevin has returned.
All right, so we got some estimations. 10 meters. I don't know, maybe we'll do an experiment. We'll come back next week and see what the results are.
Can I ask my question?
Yeah, ask your question.
So how many of you guys have eaten sugar like puffs before?
I have no idea. Cereal.
I don't know what it is in the U.S.
Let me convert it to Australian.
In Canada, it's Sugar Crisp.
Sugar Crisp.
Like Rice Krispies?
No, like...
The bean-looking ones?
Yeah. Sugar Crisp or...
They look like
Honey Monster Puffs?
Maybe it's just not that... Golden Crisp?
This is
crisp?
A great question.
Yeah, yeah, like the bean-looking ones. Those look like beans. That was a perfect...
Oh, yeah.
How did you guys
ever? Do you ever eat that?
They look like coffee beans.
I've had them.
I have. I like them. I do like them, actually. Okay. I should get some.
So,
I don't like
should,
them.
Because
they
my question...
stick in your teeth.
Wow, way to be negative, Kevin.
My question is...
Cereal
when you,
sucks and you should all feel bad.
When you go... When you eat like a bowl... I don't eat cereal, but it's like years ago. When you eat
just
a bowl of Sugar Crisp... If you go pee, see, it's related to your pee question.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go pee, it smells like Sugar Crisp.
What does it taste like, though?
I have no idea.
Pee. That's
I haven't investigated that far yet. But if
we were
to
make a cereal tier list,
you're not a real
Sugar Crisp is bad. This is F tier cereal right here, guys.
Sugar Crisp is actually great.
You guys should go to Child Protective Services for having to eat that cereal.
Wait, it says right here, it's a low in sodium and free in saturated and trans fats. And
loaded with
low
sugar.
Low in fun.
Tom, what's your favorite cereal?
Over the top with sugar.
Cereal, it's like Fruit Loops or,
God,
I mean,
so boring.
Weet-Bix? Like,
Weet-Bix?
Like,
Jesus. We got a boomer on this podcast. What do you put on your Weet-Bix?
How many Weet-Bix do you do?
This,
come on.
I eat two
sugar
and
crisp
I used to put
over
a bunch 50% of
sugar
on them. Sugar. My mom would get Weet-Bix and I would load it up with just like literally like spoonfuls of sugar.
Oh my God.
But wait, I want to finish my question.
Okay.
Oh. So,
yeah. Wait. Where are we
all
getting?
Of the stuff online says that it's because it's such a high amount of sugar that you pee it out. But that doesn't really happen
what
unless
do you Google.
You have,
why does
like,
my why does my pee
a
smell
crazy
so
crazy amount? But also,
like
sugar
diabetes.
Doesn't smell. So what is in? Is it like the Sugar Crisp flavor or like smell just makes it to your pee?
I feel like this is. A video for you. Why does my pee smell like Sugar Crisp?
There's the asparagus pee, right?
That doesn't smell like asparagus. It's genetic. It smells way worse than asparagus.
This one smells good. It just smells like the cereal.
Wait, Will, have you noticed that?
I'm just wondering what it is.
What did you say, Kevin?
Sorry?
You used to eat that cereal. Did you notice it too, Will?
I never noticed it. Not the smell,
at least. I've had multiple accounts, and there's news articles about it, so I'm not alone.
Oh, okay.
Nigel, is there anything interesting in the smell of the diabetes pee that you drank?
That I drank? I never drank diabetes
pee. Didn't you like eat pee for a video or something? Yeah.
No.
Wait, I want to hear more about this.
That's how doctors used to test for diabetes.
Exactly. I mean, I was actually tempted to make the video more complete, but it was just kind of
why
too
not?
Gross.
Oh, it never happened.
So Zach's confusing it with the other video where I made an artificial sweetener from pee. I never tasted pee.
Oh.
But you tasted the sweetener.
So
maybe.
You have indirectly.
Yeah, but
pee.
That's like saying like you
Nigel's in the water
you took like a drug or something that was derived from crude oil. So therefore you've eaten crude oil. Like doesn't
yeah,
really
I think that's
like...
a fair claim. Look at Tom agrees. Can't see Kevin. Yeah.
This should be the title. Nigel tasted my ex-girlfriend's pee.
Because
she had diabetes, and that's who he used for the video.
Did you actually?
Yes.
That is
so funny. I did not taste it.
Did you share this in the video? Because this is the funniest thing ever.
This year,
no,
what?
I just remember my ex-girlfriend's pee being in his fridge for like a couple months.
Okay,
maybe.
I have a question.
Yeah, that's true.
This is so good because this is like an actual good experiment that has such deranged like origin. How did you proposition someone's girlfriend?
I think she just offered it. I don't remember the details.
What was the okay? But there literally had to have been context because nobody just offers pee. There must have been some inquiry.
I think you just formally asked.
I've seen Nigel's subreddit before. I've seen people offer.
Wait, actually,
did you
say?
You
know, it's so funny
because
I looked up the chat on Facebook, and the last thing I spoke to her in 2017 was the pee thing.
Well, okay, can you read it? This is awesome. This is so funny.
Yes.
Wait, I think that's the only thing we've spoken about on Facebook.
That makes it so great.
You still got the pee?
Because I actually remember telling her, because I needed it to have sugar. I needed it to have sugar. So I told her, because she often would not respect her diabetes.
Don't
take
your insulin for a week.
If you get a high, no, I said, if you get a high reading, that's a good time. Because I needed it to be positive.
That is so funny. Wait, so what? I want to hear the chat. I want to read the chat.
Yeah, it's really long. I can't read the whole thing. It's actually pretty hilarious reading this. It's terrible. Oh my god, it's everything we spoke about.
From the past.
Yeah, that's how chat works.
there's a few snippets. Oh, that's literally the only thing we ever spoke about. The first message to her was, yo, when you get high blood sugar, brackets, the higher the better. I need
air quotes,
your
don't
pee.
Take your insulin.
That's it.
I need your pee.
The higher the better. I need your pee for a video. ... Of course.
Wait, how many subscribers did you have in 2017? Was it a lot?
Probably.
You were still at home working out the garage.
Was it like enough to? Was it enough to be legit, or was it like?
It was over 100K, I think. It was over 100K.
Okay.
Man, that's an abuse of power
that,
if I've ever seen one.
How many subscribers do you need to start asking girls for their pees? That's the
100,000,
I think
guess.
The answer is zero.
Okay. Oh, well, to get it, you need 100,000. To ask them, you can do that.
So,
zero.
I want
to
read her response. So I said, for a video, of course. Her response was, oh my God, are you serious? Okay.
Wait, so you just cold opened with this?
Yeah, and she's like, I'm like, I'm serious. I'm gonna use it for a video. She just says, okay, what kind of container do you need, and how much do you need?
You need 2 gallons. You said, how much do you got?
Yeah, it's literally the only thing we talked about. I'm like, yo, I need your pee again. Because I let it sit in my fridge for weeks, and I just never used it.
What did you...
Wait, I need it ASAP. I'll pay you $20. Oh.
I just remember, Nigel, once coming to your house, and I was super thirsty, and I opened the fridge to get a Coke, and the pee was just in the fridge.
Oh, yeah, it's just in the fridge.
Was it labeled pee?
No, I don't think so.
Did you have her pee in an apple juice bottle?
It was just a water bottle, actually. But it was actually a reusable water bottle.
Okay, so then the experiment, what did you do? What did you do with the pee?
Drank it, like I said. I mean, like I said, I didn't do. No, I just tested for sugar in it because I was doing... It was a whole video because at the time, I just thought it was pretty interesting how... and this is when you get into the, I feel like I'm going to say all this and you're going to be like, okay. Just the interesting way that diabetes was tested for. So it's the first way was, as Kevin said, just, take a little taste.
Yeah.
If it's sweet, then
there's
a problem.
Diabetes.
I think that's so. Diabetes mellitus is the name, and I'm pretty sure it means it just means sweet. I don't want to say it doesn't mean sweet pea, but mellitus
honey
is
or
sweet.
Something?
Diabetes.
When I Google search sweet pea, it's just a bunch of little green balls.
Mellitus means sweet. But I don't know what diet. Either way, it doesn't really matter. But mellitus refers to the sweetness of the pee. That's how it was, how it came about. So then when they decided to, one guy was like, hey, you know what? Maybe tasting the pee isn't great. So we'll come up with a chemical way to do this.
Right.
And that was the first early way that when your patient came in, you didn't have to be pee in a cup and then just sip it.
would they put some ice cubes in it? How did they prepare the pee for sipping?
No, you gotta take it just like as is, straight from the source,
straight from the tap,
yeah. 10 meters away.
God, dude, I can't. Being a doctor back in the day was crazy.
Well, this is good. I'm sure they probably taste people's blood too. There's like,
I don't know what they
really could determine.
Ghosts. Yeah.
Tom, what's the weirdest science experiment you've ever done?
I don't tend to do anything. No, I can't say I'm not doing anything.
I have a good question for Tom after too.
I'm currently doing some bone stuff, which sucks because usually my projects are like vegan, you know,
right?
And it feels weird to like take a living thing.
Are you
and
vegan?
Just grind it up. No. I don't know why I'm offended about that. But yeah.
So you're saying you're taking something that's alive and you're grinding it up in like a blender or something?
It's dead when I grind it up.
Oh, that's there's nothing that's wrong with that.
Yeah, so it's not too. I mean, the weirdest thing is still just like going into like hardware stores or like really like supermarkets and like cleaning them out of specific chemicals.
Yeah.
Like drain cleaning.
And you always worry, you're like, oh, you know, because like I was like, oh, I'm going to do some chemistry. I'll do like, you know, I was going to make like some explosives from aspirin or whatever and like extract some lithium. So like I went into the supermarket and I just bought like 5 packs of aspirin, some baby oil to keep the lithium under, and then like a pack of AAA batteries or something. And I was like, it's just like, who's serving me? You know, like just like batteries, oil, and like enough pills to like kill me. And it's like, what is this man doing? And it's like, oh, I'm just making the explosives, like, no worries. Like,
I've given up even just trying to be normal. Like, I just think, normal for video making purposes. I'm normal in general. That's my disclaimer.
Yeah, okay.
But I've given up.
Yeah.
I've given up being normal for videos. So, like, one, when I did the Pepto-Bismol video, for the intro, I was like, I just wanted to drop a bunch of antacids. So I went into the pharmacy and I bought every single antacid they had, but like every brand. Yeah. And as you go to the cash and you have like 9 brands of antacid and you're just like, you know what? Like, whatever. It's not her business.
Yeah. The weirder ones is the oyster hydroponic stores. Like, I don't know if you have them. We have quite a few of them here. And like, you know, because they have some pretty nasty chemicals. And like, they're always like, what are you using this for? And you've got to be like, oh, I'm just making drugs. And then they're like, oh, that's all right. You know, as soon as you're like,
some weed,
oh,
though?
No, I don't really smoke weed. They're like, this. You know, it feels weirder to like, to be like, no, I'm actually just going to use chemicals as chemicals.
I hate when you go to the store and people ask what you're doing, thinking that they will even be able to remotely help you.
Like, why are you selling this? Like, first of all, why are you selling this concentrated acid? Like, bro, you know.
There's uses. But it's like they come up to me and ask me, like, what do you need this for? I'm like, there's no way I can explain to this guy what I'm trying to do.
Have you heard of YouTube?
Some of the stuff is so
clear. Because then they have 1,000 more questions. How do you make money?
No.
It's like, no, my parents are so disappointed in me.
Wait, I did have a question for Tom. So, because I think it was earlier in one of the other podcasts, I mentioned making gold fulminate because my goal.
Oh, yeah.
My goal was to make $5,000 worth of it and just blow it up.
All right.
But what is the likelihood of dying doing that?
That's pretty high. I mean, gold's cheap at the moment. You can get gold, like people are like, oh, gold, you know, but like you can get a gram of gold for like, I don't know, like 80 Australian or some shit. You know, it's not really that expensive. I mean, it is, but like a gram of explosives is a lot. So to do like $5,000, like you're talking like multiple grams, and that's like, you know, leveling your lap. Not leveling your lap, but like, you know, they're going to have to clean you from the walls type shit rather than, you know.
Yeah.
So you're saying it'd be like a really good YouTube
death
video.
Because they got to clear the rubble kind of thing more. Then, you know, hurt my hands. So $5,000, the mark's pretty high, you know.
how would you like even do that? Would you do it in, like, little batches?
I mean, you have to, because explosions
one big old bash
scale, yeah. And you read there's people, there's historical, because it was like the first explosive ever invented or whatever. Mm. So people were like, oh, this is neat. I'm gonna make, you know, like 100 grams of it or whatever, and just die. And so there's just like, you know, and like historical reports.
Do you actually
like the 1600s.
Die if you get vaporized in a like 3 millisecond explosion? Like, are you actually dead, or do you like? Is your consciousness?
Well, you just like ascend.
You ascend to the next level.
Yeah. It's. That's a good question. No, I can say that you die.
How would you?
He's confirming it.
How would you even work with something like that? Like, could you do it remotely? Like, what's the right way to do it?
Oh, yeah. You need a little robot.
Yeah. The bomb robot, but it's actually making the bomb.
But it builds bombs.
the problem with sensitive explosives like that, and it is really sensitive, is that and because they're heavy, right, you have like a pile of them, they have this like self-confinement, but also like able to self-detonate, so the weight of the pile on the guns at the bottom causes it to detonate, so you just can't have it reach like a critical mass where if you had a pile it would blow up.
How do you keep it stable? Because, like, if it's like wet or something, does that stabilize it?
I mean, for a lot of them, yes. Some explosives, it doesn't help. But wet generally is how it's done. I mean, these things are just not handled industrially for really sensitive explosives. They're just not handled. Like, no one's making that. No, there's no need to, you know, be
right.
Like, they're just like, you get below a certain threshold and they just become lab curiosities.
What's the legality of doing something like this? Because it seems like something that's not even illegal because it's so dangerous that you'll just like never do it.
Oh, they're
like,
bad.
Like, is there any practical application? Like, there you couldn't. Like, there's no practical application, right?
For really sensitive. I mean, there's always you know, interesting stuff with explosives and.
But you can't transport it or anything. It's just like.
No, but you're always trying to make. There's always research about, you know, trying to make better explosives and you know, it's not about making exact sensitivity, but you're trying to make ones that go off in certain circumstances. Right. You know, whether that's like laser or you know, exactly only to heat and not to shock, or you know, sort of thing. So there's still quite a lot of research. And there's heaps of research as well about like, oh, green explosives. Like, oh, you know, because it's weird, right? Like in the 1900s, they replaced the main explosive, primary explosive, was mercury fulminate.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, mercury's pretty bad. So we're going to swap it out for lead azide and the lead explosives. Mm. And that was in like the early 1900s. And it's just been the same since. It's just still the number one explosive. It's just lead based, and it's terrible. But like,
you mean like primary explosives?
Primary explosives, yeah.
Same.
They just haven't been able to replace it.
Same thing in bullets right now. The bullets they use lead stifenate in the primers, and so you go to a shooting range, and you know, if it's an indoor shooting range and it's not really well ventilated, you come out and you like blow out black boogers, and that's all lead dust.
Yeah.
It's like,
are
all
you serious?
Lead dust. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, people are complaining about me touching the piece of lead in this x-ray video, but you go to a shooting range and you're actually inhaling it?
Yeah, like
yeah.
The lead like, dust from the primer, from the like the heat on the back of the bullet and the bullet scraping down.
Is there any gold explosive that will not turn me to dust?
What's the goal? To not
to turn something else to dust.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, turning something else to dust. No, but I mean, because lead's fucking gold. It's pretty, yeah, it's not very stable in things because it's a big element. I mean, potentially, like, if you want to burn $5,000 on chemistry, then, you know, there's plenty of more expensive elements. You see the price of iridium and bloody rhodium at the moment.
But can they blow up?
Oh, yeah, right?
what is the, like, probably abridged, non-instructional explanation of, like, how to make gold fulminate?
Oh, good, yes, okay. Do I have to give a disclaimer before I like?
Well, I mean, do I don't know. Like, what's the general
safety
rule?
Safety third.
Yeah,
oh, safety third. Right,
what
yeah.
is like profits enough where first. We you understand the general process without the specifics that somebody would get mad at?
Well, so you just have to have dissolved gold somehow.
Right.
So whether that's aqua regia or whatever, and so once you've got gold in solution, you're just adding ammonia basically, and so that'll first precipitate out the gold hydroxide or oxide or whatever, and then that'll re-dissolve, and then you'll precipitate out this weird ammonia complex of the gold, which is basically that, the gold fulminate. But seriously, like, it's pretty sensitive and it's very unpredictable because it's just a random, like, it's not even a specific compound. It's just a random mix of all random, like, stuff. So batch to batch, even, like, you read science papers about it and, and like, they're, like, batch to batch, it's just completely different.
So is there a way, like, if it's in solution, is it pretty safe?
No, it precipitates out. So you've got to, like, filter off and...
Oh,
so
like,
really?
What if you, like, but if you have, like, this jug of stuff that's precipitating out, like, that's pretty, I mean, if it does.
So, yeah, so a lot of explosives, like, especially these heavy metal, like, silver and gold stuff, can actually detonate because, like, underwater, right? Because you've got a big enough amount and because, so because their ability to propagate a detonation is, like, you know, like, it's just a factor depending on the chemical, but if that. That ability to propagate is like less than the amount that's precipitated out. Does that make any sense? You know, so you can't, the water's not stopping, you know, will stop it from particle to particle, right? But if you can, but if the ability to detonate is smaller than the particle is, then the particle is just going to go anyway.
So what you'd have to do is you'd have to like set something up where the
make super fine particles.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, like, genuinely, no one would be able to tell you the answers to these. Because no one is doing this to the point where, like, oh, it was fine. Let's do it again until it's not fine. And then, you know, like,
so if you know,
you can read things where people survived and you can read about people dying, but you don't know what they were doing. So there's a big gap in between, you know, living and dying, you know.
So
that was before we had YouTube videos.
I know.
Now we can capture the moment.
And cell phone cameras.
Sell it as an NFT.
Yeah. The goal, I know this is safety third, but the goal is not to try and do things to the minimum amount that you will survive the procedure. The goal is to have a little buffer between dying and completing the procedure.
Right. Losing an arm is successful, safety. But staying alive is the goal.
Yeah. See, I would increase the buffer a little bit.
People don't actually understand that we do have a buffer, and then we get all sorts of angry comments.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you took the dissolved gold and then you added whatever to precipitate everything out and make that happen, but you did that in a remote station where you were actually going to detonate it, you could make it in a way where you never had to approach it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You can do things.
Dude, bomb robot.
It would also be crazy, right? If you made, let's Battle say, like, bot, 2 pounds. Collab. If you made 2 pounds of gold fulminate, and, like, you kind of just blew up, and, like, you got vaporized. But, you know, it kind of shoots, like, gold everywhere at the same time.
That'd be fantastic.
Your conscious would become one with the earth.
It's kind of just, like, you just explode and just sprinkles of gold fall down.
What do you think largest volume a single human has taken up? In like a detonation.
I don't know what you mean.
Like they get detonated into a cloud of meat. Like how big do you think a human has become? Like one mile square or cubed?
How big was Fat Man?
Big. That absolutely would have vaporized an entire human.
Oh yeah. Are you saying...
No, but just saying, like, if you got detonated and you turn into like a cloud of pink mist, like how big could that like cloud of mist get? Like, what do you think the biggest area? Single
your mist would turn into mist, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You would literally be atomized.
You just keep
you're atomized. Like, how much space
you turn into
do you
plasma?
Think that could, yeah, like what kind of volume do you think a person could encompass? As
dude,
a
that actually
like
sounds pretty cool, though, right?
The
just
fireball,
turning into plasma.
The fireball radius of whatever bomb that hit you.
You think someone has easily.
But then
been,
everyone
like,
in
somebody
in that radius also combines.
Like, 200 meters in diameter.
Oh god!
Talk about big chungus.
Oh man, this is like hanging out with my engineering friends who all got engineering jobs.
What was
so? Wait, I have another question about the gold because I just looked it up and I was like, the safest thing you could probably do. Would it be possible to make a gold thermite? There's no... I looked it up and nobody's done it.
Yeah.
There's no record anywhere because I don't think anyone, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I looked...
Don't you need like it's oxidized iron and
you just make gold oxide and just mix it with aluminum.
Yeah. So
could that blow up? Because some thermites are explosive, right?
Yeah. So it depends on the reactivity of the metal. The less reactive it is, the more energetic the thermite. But it also depends on the boiling point of the metal. That helps a lot too, which might be a bit shit. But you can definitely do that. Yeah, that's a good way to burn $5,000.
Boiling point of metal.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah, I mean, that would spend your money. You just got too much money. You just got to burn.
Nigel, no. I'm telling you, like, I think I love the idea of doing like a crowdsourced campaign where every last dollar people give you is going to be converted into some like gold explosive. Like, you're literally going to burn the money.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. So
the problem with the thermite is that you get the gold back.
Well, yeah, but that's a win for you.
That's a problem.
No, that's why the fulminate.
I like the fulminate because you kind of just blow it up and then you're just like, so. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Realistically, like, yeah. I like this idea. I think that with enough people combined, we could make a reasonable amount of gold fulminate in a safe
The first part
manner.
Of the budget, though, is for the robot.
Right. So you build a robot or a machine that's capable of like finishing the last half of the reaction.
Oh, yeah.
And then.
Yeah, the first half you could easily do yourself.
Right. And so you don't have to get anywhere near this thing.
Hmm. It'd be scary. Like, because you add all the ammonia, you see all the gold fulminate coming out, and you're just like, is it going to go on its own? Like, what do we
do? It should. I mean, what else? You have a high power rifle that you can.
That's true. that would be good.
And, like, what happens if you spread it out? Like, if you just dump it on the ground?
I feel like you need to dry it, though. Like, you need to see it dry.
Yeah.
You need to see the dust. Because in water, you won't see it.
But no, but you would pour it into, like, some sort of sieve or some sort of filter, and the water would drain out. And it would just collect.
Yeah, like a classic coffee filter or something.
I think this is a great idea. I think I am so on board.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to do, you know, because I feel like I have hit multiple projects where I've been like, this would be great if I could do it remotely because it's just too dangerous to
I think
you need some robot arms.
To me, it sounds totally feasible to be able to, like, you just need some valves. You just need to pump, you know, like two different things together and then just walk
away.
That'd
be pretty epic. Like in your haircut video, you have the VR goggles and you have the little
that thing probably costs more than gold.
You could do the remote chemistry.
In order for that to be worth it, we'd have to do probably like $100,000 worth of gold because the robot's the most expensive part of the whole thing.
It just destroys it.
Okay, so what do you think the legality of this is? Do you have to find a place to do it? But like, are you like, what's the? I don't understand or even know the legality of blowing.
You need a license here in Canada, probably.
Yeah.
But where does that cutoff happen? Because, like, what is blowing something up?
Yeah, right.
At least when I looked it up in Canada a long time ago, almost anybody can get an explosives license. You just cannot be doing your research within, like, a certain distance of a dwelling.
That's Jesus Christ. Like, why
easy.
Would you?
But your limit is 25 grams.
That's a lot of grams.
For research purposes. Anything below 25, they're like, that can be deemed research. But how many?
What about in the States?
That would be.
In America, we love blowing shit up.
But we're looking to make like half a pound of gold fulminate.
What?
No. what would the like TNT equivalent be to half a pound?
It's pretty bad.
Like,
I mean, probably
pounds?
Roughly half a pound of TNT.
What?
It's about the same,
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, like,
how do you guys know this off the top of your heads?
I don't know.
TNT,
he knows better than me.
Explosives, yeah. I mean, they don't, like, they're not, primaries aren't, like, wildly more powerful than secondaries, like TNT. It's just like, their ability to go off in small amounts. You know, because you can't set off 2 grams of TNT and expect it to reach its full potential. It just doesn't do it. Right. So.
Have you seen the cross sections of like some like any rocket that is used for any like actual purposes like going to space? Like, they're just literally giant bombs with a cargo bay on top of them.
Oh yeah,
it's insane. The entire thing is fuel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and on like on the flip side, any missile is just like
fuel and then fuel.
I'm saying. No, I'm saying that like the thing that always amazed me is that a missile is just. The reason they cost like $100,000 or a few hundred K is the amount of technology that goes into just making that thing go through the air is so dumb. And then you just blow it up.
Sure. Here's, like, here's a claim probably, that I'm going to make right now. Probably cost $10 to make them, and if, they just sell them for $100K, right?
Seriously. If we spent 3 months together in the same room, we all could make a missile.
I guarantee you can make a missile.
So here's the thing. We could make a missile. Just is it remotely useful, accurate?
But is it a missile?
What are you talking about? I gave us 3 months.
If I had explosives and I could and
okay
fuel, I could probably do it. I could do it with an Arduino, I bet.
Yeah.
So
well,
I really wanted to learn, and I wanted to make some sort of rocket. I want to make a liquid propelled rocket.
Right.
Because I just think that's
me
cool.
After Taco Bell.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've come to basically the realization that it's a project they'll do in like 5 years or 10 years. I looked up
the rules, and you are not supposed to make. They don't like it when the rocket's controllable.
This is like the amateur rocketry organization.
Yeah, like stabilizing a rocket is kind of like where the line is.
No, that's how you get a job at Lockheed Martin when you're a high schooler. That's how you get a scholarship.
I'm pretty sure the instant you make a rocket, like you take it and you make it go up, but then you go one step like and you make it do like a loop, that's the point where they get mad at you.
Well, yeah, but they can't do anything. The rocketry organizations, dude, they are the biggest bunch of boomers that I've ever seen.
Dude, the safety nerds?
Yeah, but
yes.
The aviation.
It's unbelievable.
People
aviation
will,
is
like,
pretty, yeah.
They'll just they control the airspace. That's the biggest concern, because if you launch a rocket, they will just find you. And also, danger...
No, you can... Anybody
they find,
can
they'll
can
find you. Don't worry, they'll find you. The problem, too, with the liquid-propelled rocket has also just an inherent problem that if you need to include enough liquid to propel it, but that also means that when your rocket inevitably fails, it probably has enough liquid to, like, blow up.
That's the whole point of making a missile.
So you're basically
goose.
Just making terrible missiles, and I don't
we
know if there's
missile,
any real
but it's
way
like
to
multi-purpose. The fuel is also the warhead.
Well, I'm saying that if we tried to launch that, it would probably just go up and just blow someone's house up, and then at that point you're just a terrorist.
Just go out to the desert.
How far do you think it's gonna go? Just don't do it next to people's houses.
That's a good point. And honestly, the first one would probably go 5 feet in the air, spin everywhere, shoot death gases, and then just blow up.
What were you going to do, like a hybrid?
You're being a party pooper.
Sorry?
Like a hybrid rocket?
I just want to make a classic, like, nitrogen tetroxide and...
classic.
Tom, what kind of warhead are we going to put on our missile?
And...
nitrous oxide.
Just the classic
rocket. Nigel's making chemical weapon missiles, so like he doesn't need a warhead.
Nigel's more likely to die making the fuel than from the actual rocket.
I just think it's cool. It's the classic, classic one.
This is like I cannot stress how like almost innocent the military industrial complex is, because everyone thinks it's this big evil thing, and like it is just a bunch of nerds who like the idea of blowing things up. And then someone figured out how to make a ton of money out of those people. Everyone's like, let's blow things up with rockets. And then someone's like,
blow
just
anything
cashing
up.
In. Dude, blowing stuff up is awesome.
I just want it to flow. I just think it would be cool to have it.
Yeah, Nigel doesn't
fly.
Want his thing
That's
to
all
blow
I need.
Up. He wants it to be a rocket, you know?
Blowing stuff
it will
up
blow
is
up
cool.
When it fails. I just want it to fly. But I've come to realize it's just impossible. I don't have the technical ability. I'd basically just have to hire engineers. And then at that point, there's no point.
At that point, just start your own defense company.
Because just like the simple problem of if you have it liquid propelled, you have to shoot the right amount of liquid out so that you have good propulsion. But then the faster your rocket goes up, if you gravity feed it, the faster your liquid goes out. And then the faster your rocket goes... And you have to have control systems depending on how fast you're going and what orientation.
Why don't you just
it's
do something
much.
That's a little bit easier? Just like a solid fuel, like the acrylic.
You can just buy that at a hobby shop. Come on.
No, like the acrylic, where they like burn the acrylic tube.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a hybrid?
See, yeah, just, that's what they, like, it's
the way you're
like
describing
a
it is
nitrous.
Lame. I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, I think, dude, there's so many solutions.
Have you? Because the liquid-propelled rockets, okay, the reason I want to make them is because of how dangerous they sound. Because the other ones are very, they have a controlled sound, whereas the liquid ones just, it's just ridiculous. That's why I want to do it.
I think you should do the gold fulminate, or I'll do it.
And fire the missile into it.
That one's definitely more dangerous than...
Yes,
and
oh
doable.
My god, if it doesn't detonate, then our missile project will...
you
will
just launch a missile at it. So wait, I had a question. Are you ever going to post the underwear video?
Dude, it's just editing. I just hate editing. Especially videos that are so open-ended like that, where it's like, I have to figure out, what do I have? What's interesting? I'm just going to like sit down and then like tell this... I don't know, I just need to do it. Because
you could also not post it, and I could just do it myself.
No, there's definitely an opportunity for two videos.
Oh, okay. I wanted to steal the idea.
Doing it right and doing it wrong.
No.
I'd just do it right.
I wouldn't comment on your video. I would just pretend it never happened.
Just do it, Nigel. Start working on it. Put the pressure
Nigel,
on
Nigel. If
just,
Nigel had access to my hard drive, he would delete all the footage from that video.
No, it's okay. You got it. You have to be... You have to learn from the mistakes of your past. You can't just erase them, right?
It's not true. You erase all sorts of stuff as long as enough people haven't found out about it.
We've talked about it enough that like the mistakes are pretty out there.
Pretty permanent. We have to do it now.
That's why I got to get ahead and post a good one to show that I'm capable. Yeah.
When's your next video coming out?
Mine? Hopefully.
You said August. It's August.
Don't be one of those people.
Free content. We need content. You're just a lazy piece of shit YouTuber.
All these people were like, you said August. I'm like, man, August 31st is still August.
True.
And, you know, like September 1st, I still consider that August. Maybe the first few days of September. But it's just like, I always post on the very last possible day. That's just what I do.
I pushed this X-ray deadline. It was supposed to go out on Friday, and I ended up posting it on Thursday. No, I ended up posting it a week late, actually. Yeah, it was exactly a week late.
I want to post this one in September.
It happens.
And I will if I can.
Doesn't it feel like you're back in high school getting yelled at by your teacher or something like that? Like, it's just horrible vibes.
Like, the way we used to do videos, too, it wasn't so bad. Like, my videos are so much more, like, I've been trying to make them more, like, structured and cohesive, because I feel like that's kind of, like, the way YouTube is going now. And it just, like, it's so much more work. It's, like, I film videos now the same way that Michael films videos, where it's, like, you just film something, put it in the edit, and then you're, like, all right, this makes sense. And then you get, like, I had, like, 7 minutes at one point, and I was, like, this stuff's too long. Like, I did this green screen bit. And it just, like, it went on too long, but I didn't know what to cut, so I ended up just, like, neutering it. But then later down the road, I brought more stuff back into it, and it just, like, it's like, oh, my God. Yeah, you do, your stuff is kind of like that, too, where it's, like, you have this, like, thought, this, like, train of thought, and, like, the pacing, and, like, when do you move on? Like, when do you sort of, like, not talk about a problem that you had? It's just, like, ugh.
Yeah, I try and do things very quickly. Sorry, I think I also disappeared there because my computer ran out of recording room.
Oh no!
Too many files. I know. Sorry, editor.
But you rescued it, right? You rescued it.
I think so.
Okay.
It's not my first rodeo. Don't worry.
That was confident. But like in terms of like I call it scope creep. In terms of like you start a project and then you're like, oh, wouldn't this be cool? And then you do it and you're like, oh, that'll be another month, but I'll do it. And then it's like, I always think it's funny in a video. And I hate this, but like I think it is funny, but like if you do something for a long period of time and then in the video you talk about it as if it was like nothing, you're like, I spent 4 weeks on that. Haha, that was stupid. Right. Which is funny in the end video, but when you're doing it, you're like, I'm going to edit this down to 4 seconds, aren't I? Like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah. I just like every time I sit down to edit, I just like, I kind of hate doing it now. Like, it
you know what you need to do?
What?
You need... to write, going back to what Kevin said about a teacher.
I've tried
to write an outline.
But Nigel, the problem is that everything I do is like, it's supposed to be like real time, like a cooking show kind of, where you're just like showing this is how you do this and that. And you can't redo a lot of it. So you can't like reset stuff up.
So
but you do all the time. You have to go back and do it.
But the like this X-ray video, like I redid a lot of stuff, but the only reason I redid it
then
is
because and
it was,
then you did it all in order.
Yes.
In one
but,
day.
But
yeah.
The only reason I did that is because I didn't. Nothing was like super permanent or modified in a way where I couldn't do that.
Okay, so
yeah.
What you need to do is, I mean, so for example, like my second channel, the Nile Blue stuff, there's no organization. There's absolutely none, and editing it is
and it shows. Yeah,
is, yep, those is are very easy. Special. Sorry?
Those are like simple, those are simple concepts usually. Like kind
yeah,
of two dimensional.
But they're kind of a nightmare. Like my we filmed last time, we just lost footage. We straight up just were looking for it and we lost 3 hours of footage.
Sounds about right.
So we edited around it.
You mean 30 seconds in the video?
We edited around it and it was like pretty hard. It took me a few hours to like edit around it. That's a disaster. We don't. The point of that channel is we don't even. When we start it, we don't even really know what we're doing. We didn't even research the topic.
Yeah, but go watch the X-ray video if you haven't seen it, and just you don't have to watch
did,
the whole
actually.
Thing, but just like look. Oh, you did. Like when you start paying attention, you realize like I don't really go more than like one or two thoughts before changing how the camera is being. Angled or held. So it's very like it's very dynamic, and like this is something that Michael has done a lot of. Like there's a lot of feedback that like I think everyone absorbs from everyone else.
Okay.
Like someone sees someone do this and they like that, and so they kind of copy. And like Michael does a really good job of never stopping, and so the camera is like part of that mechanism of like how can you make it feel like it's not stopping. It's like, okay, well sometimes I'm holding the camera walking around, like when I'm holding the camera talking to it, I'm almost always moving. Because it makes it feel like I can't have the camera on a tripod. Because if I had it on a tripod, then you wouldn't be able to see me, so I have to bring the camera with me. And it's like you could use a cameraman, but then the problem is like that kind of changes the style of the video.
So,
yeah.
And
good,
it changes
I mean,
the pacing.
Having a cameraman is good, too, for its own reasons.
It can be good for like live action stuff, but when you're trying to convey something that takes you like 6 hours to film, having a cameraman like totally breaks it. It just absolutely breaks down.
So I think
like trying to get Sandra or Chelsea to help with
it's
something
a
like that.
Dude, it's awful. Like, dude, when I'd film with John,
it's bad
like,
for them. That
would,
it gets bad for you.
Yeah, I would call him at like 12. It'd be like noon. And I'd be like, oh man, like I think I'm gonna have this done in like an hour. He would drive all the way across town, like probably 10, 12 miles, and he'd get there. And then I would literally keep. I'd be like, oh, it's not working. It's not working. Like I thought I was close to having finished something, and then I would like he would sit there for like 2 or 3 hours. And then I'd kind of have it, and then I'd be like, here, it's like, God damn, like I did this and it's not working again. And then he'd go home, and then like the next day or 2 days later, I'd call him again. And like, we weren't making any money at this point too. So it was just like, you know, we were just doing it and he was just driving. Like neither of us had any, like a real job at that point. Like,
no, it's, what I was going to say is like the second channel stuff is just a nightmare, but it's like for the main channel, I have to write like a huge outline. So I think,
right.
I
but your
think
stuff's not
getting
live
some
action,
sort
though.
Of middle ground. No.
It just it
but
depends.
It's like I do
it
have...
depends on how you want the energy of the video to work. And so, like for my kind of stuff, like I almost can't present it in a formulated way because it's stupid. Like it's chaotic and it's not well planned. And so well, if I'm sitting and then I did this and then and it just is like moronic. You know, it kind of like gets weird. It has to feel like real time.
The video that I did about making bromine in the garage, that was my experience of most of the video was just footage that my friend filmed while I was doing it.
Yeah.
That's like most of it. So
but the story is like structured.
It is, but to edit it was a different editing. I had to sit down and actually try to figure out how to do it because we filmed for 2 days and I think there was like 15 hours of footage. I don't know what it was.
Right.
So I put it into the editor and I just scanned until every time I said something and then I would mark it on the timeline every time I said something and then I took notes and wrote down everything I said and then I organized the order that those things would appear in and then how I would have to interject with voiceover.
I think
in
I
order
have
to
way too much. I think I have like ADHD because I can't do that.
Hmm.
That's psycho. That's
That's
there's
way
no way
too
when
much,
you have 15
like,
hours. How are you have to? I'm not watching.
Like
the
what
footage.
I like. So I'm not like. There's a lot of people like iDubbbz and Michael Reeves and myself. Like it's way worse now for me. I used to be like one take wonder, but now it's like. You know, I'll say the same thing over and over again.
I'm a thousand like, take wonder.
Like, I've talked to Ian, like, iDubbbz about it. And, like, he hates filming when there's people around because he'll just, he has to, like, say the same line a couple of times, you know, like, he just says it.
Yeah,
says
I
it.
Do that.
Michael Everybody does the does same that. Thing, dude. Yeah, like, I do.
Yeah,
I remember,
you gotta
like,
get
the
right
middle
intonation.
Of the night, you would just hear him screaming. Like, Michael would be screaming up in that crow's nest where he'd film up in, like, the attic, basically. And he would do the same thing over and over and over and over again. And like he'd have, you know, maybe 10, 15 like attempts to like say something to like get it right. Like in this X-ray video, there's a part where I run to my chair and like kind of like pop my ass into it and like kind of slide in. And I'm like, I'm not $69,000 in debt. I'm only $2,500. I did that like 4 or 5 times because it just like I was trying to like make it feel right and like not weird.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is, right?
And then one time I hit my ass on the armrest and it hurt really bad. I like landed wrong.
Oh no.
Right in between the crack.
Yeah,
or,
that's
or
the,
are we just all yeah. Are we just all awkward nerds and everyone else is really good at it? It's just us.
No, like, no, no way.
That's good to know.
You start to realize that's just kind of how you have to put stuff together. Like even the filming for the main channel. It doesn't give me anxiety. It just makes me, it's very tedious. So it's like, because I want to be able, I don't know how I'm going to go through the edit. So I have to often show the same, everything I do, I have to show in a few different ways. Except if it's like a one take, I'll do things where it's like, I just will do things I don't even need to do just so I have the footage. Because I can't go back. It's impossible for me. And it just makes the filming take 3 to 4 times longer.
Like if you're ending, if you're in one scene and you're like continuing to another scene, but like continuing the same train of thought, you have to keep the same intonation in your sentence.
Casey Neistat has some like miraculous shots in his videos. Like there's one that I always think about where he, from leaving his like house, he like leaves his house and he goes from like his house to his office to that helicopter he'd always take to like JFK to his first class seat to like Germany or something. And across what had to have been like 20 hours, he says like a paragraph.
And it sounds like he's like, saying it in real time.
Yes.
Because you have to keep like the same like, energy and speed and all that.
It's
to match.
So good. It's so good. But it's like, dude, did he like write this out? Like he wrote down his like paragraph before he left? Like he had to have.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, I don't understand
like a lot of
that type of stuff.
People don't understand. There's this weird like temporal like rift that opens up when you're trying to film a video because people see it as like real time, but you can't film it in real time. It's almost impossible. Yeah. And so you have
and
to like
if you
like,
shatter that illusion,
right.
It just feels
then
weird.
It just feels like chaos. You know, there's a lot of really bad maker channels that do that where it's like it's more about the science and less about the video. And it's like, well, yeah, it's like it's a mess because it feels like not continuous. Like it has to feel continuous. And a lot of times the strategy, you know, like Tom does is to kind of tell a story after like you tell the story like after the fact, right? Like you're basically telling a story of this thing that you did. So it's like story time.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the X-ray video
does
that
too.
He does that, too. Where it's, like, my video, the X-ray is, like, we're doing this right now.
Yeah.
But you can string together your failings, like, of what you did in real time with voiceover, right?
Yeah, but the voiceover, even how you do the voiceover, I will be very careful to not talk about anything in past tense. If I say something in past tense, I'll start over and re-record.
Yeah. That's something I do like on purpose. I aggressively mix tenses.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah, I do too.
I both react to something that I have done previously as if I've never seen it before, but also talk about it in the past tense while I'm doing it. Yeah. I hate tenses, so
it's really bizarre. That's like it's like fourth dimensional, dude. Like when you make a video, you're like messing with time. Like time becomes an actual like a huge problem.
Yeah, it's good.
And then how do you address like the audience? Is it like, you know, we built this, or like now let's build this, or now I built this?
I literally, I have to say. Because I love including other people, and I just like I have to make like I have to force myself to take like complete credit for most things. Where it's like, if you start saying we and stuff, then it just starts getting weird. Like even if someone helped you on like a CAD model or something, when you start saying we, it just then it's like, oh wait, who are these other people? Like what did you like? Oh, it just like
yeah.
My trick is just to never have help from anyone, and then there's no problem. live a sad, lonely existence, and you can always say lonely, I.
Forever alone. No one to do science with.
It's just how it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think with the underwear video, that would be like a story time video. But then it's like, I used to film my intro at the beginning of the video. Like, literally, we start filming and I'd be like, hi, my name's William Wiseman. Today we're going to do this. And now it's like, I film the intros kind of at the end if it's like a complicated project.
I think you kind of have to do that. I think it's doing everything real time.
It depends.
Sorry?
It depends. It totally depends.
Yeah, no, that is true.
Like real time stuff.
It definitely does depend.
Like if I'm doing something where it's like I have this problem, like for this, I think this X-ray video is like one of like the like probably like most archetype videos I've ever done that I could.
I still want you to send me your file so I can edit your video. I think it would be amazing.
I could send you some of the old blog stuff that we did with you.
I will edit it. If it takes me less than a day,
I just have to.
I will edit a video in its entirety. Sorry.
I'll edit it. Take me away.
Yeah, Tom can do it.
We just need to do more. We'll just do more stupid stuff.
For the I've been getting into editing, man. That's just what I do.
Just like you need motivation. Like I feel like on YouTube, you need strong motivation now. Like, why are you doing this? And it's like, oh, I almost died in a hospital, and they charged me a bunch of money, and everyone's like, wee. I showed you the thumbnail. I changed the title from I built an X-ray machine to the hospital charged me $69,000. It immediately shot up in views, and I'm just sitting there like, I hate this title, but this is how it is now. Like, welcome to YouTube. People want drama. They don't want interesting things. And then people get mad at me for not building stuff. And it's like, I don't build stuff because if you look at the like top 10 performance, like I said, buying the BattleBot. When I bought the BattleBot, that video has a higher, like a faster trajectory than building an X-ray machine. I literally bought a robot and it did better than trying to build my own thing.
But so the one thing too is that you have, I mean, without going too much detail, you also have to gauge the longevity of the video. So it's like, I've had videos the 10 on 10 worst performer for the first month. But then if you look at it long term, it was like number 3.
Right.
So
it is gaining on the number 5 video though, which is an egg drop. I literally have an egg drop, which is the videos people complain about, doing better than the X-ray machine video. I just want people, like anyone who listens to this needs to understand, like YouTube breaks your brain because the stuff that does well a lot of times is not what the audience wants. Like if you guys understood that most of the people who watched the William Osmond videos, like I'm talking to the audience right now, they are not people who are subscribed to the channel. So like most people, who, Tom, look at your videos. How many subscribers
they are
you
and
have?
They aren't.
200,000? Yeah, you got 200,000, right? How many views do your recent videos have?
Oh, about 300,000.
Yeah. So you literally have 100,000 more views on some of your videos than you have subscribers.
No, his subscribers just watch them over and over and over.
It's just me refreshing.
For me, it'd
be
like my
mom. He has a small pool of dedicated guys. Yeah.
So it's like, it just...
Yeah. That's right. Well, I'm committed to churning out absolute garbage that my subscribers don't want.
When are you becoming a full-time science YouTuber?
Cringe-tuber?
Cringe-tuber.
Get your PhD and just flush it down the toilet. You're like where your PhD belongs. Spit on it and then flush it into the trash. Make YouTube videos.
Yeah. I'll think about it. It's getting to that point. I wouldn't even do it for the YouTube video. I'd just do it for my own self at this point. But full-time YouTube is probably not until next year sometime. Mm. But
you want to know something
I'm
sad?
Still making videos this year.
Any job you get with your PhD, you probably make more money on YouTube.
I mean, yeah. You'd hope.
but you have zero job security. Me and you went exactly opposite directions. I dropped out. You went you finished your degree. And I could lose my job tomorrow and I have
you'd have to
work at McDonald's?
Bad.
I don't know. No. What if YouTube's just like
you could work for someone else doing their YouTube stuff. That dude, having a YouTuber that gave up is like the golden employee. Like I'm not even joking. Like someone who understands how
I don't want to work for somebody
like,
that wants a YouTuber that gave up though, God. They must be real desperate.
But like, exactly. Yeah, but like someone who tried really hard but never quite like did it, like
that's just
like
sad.
Had success.
That's sad.
Yeah, I mean it is, but then they like understand how it works.
Yeah.
It is true. But
I mean, on that note.
just end on thank the depressing you everybody note.
For, yeah, right. That's what we did the last one, too. Thank you, everyone, for watching this episode of the Safety Third Pod. Oh. Let her rip. Oh, no. That's fine. Tom's gone. We can hear him now, but the recording's gone.
Yeah, but it means,
thank you, guys.
Yeah, but you won't hear his audio, right?
That's fine. You can go check Tom out on his YouTube channel.
Yeah, check my channel.
Explosions.
You can hear me now, I think.
Fire. So
yeah,
and the other one.
Yeah,
second channel.
I've got Extractions and I too as the second channel.
You can check out his OnlyFans.
More me complaining about
his OnlyFans is also Explosions and Fire.
Yeah, but for now
it's all feet.
You better
pictures.
Check it while it's gone. They're getting rid of all the goods.
And we want to thank.
There's no porn on there. It's going to be the number one OnlyFans.
He can't,
now,
he can't
you know,
defend himself because he has no video recording going right now, so we can just say whatever we want. and we want to thank the sponsor of today's podcast, AstroTurf, the company that makes fake grass, is sponsoring us. So if you like grass but you hate real grass, you get AstroTurf at. You just Google it.
I think I'm saying you're sponsored.
it wasn't Comcast's fault.
Might actually, I don't know.
All right, you come up with a better sponsor. Oh, we'd like to thank the sponsor of today's video, God. Thank you, God, for paying our bills for us today.
Yeah, limiting how far we can pee.
Limiting how far we can pee. If I was God, I would make it so we could pee hundreds of feet. But,
yeah,
oh,
limitless.
No.
The sponsor is the guy that crashed into the internet box and killed all the internet for my entire county.
For Kevin. Oh yeah, Kevin, we gotta end this so Kevin doesn't destroy his data plan.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.